brought to you by Penguin.
No rules, rules. Netflix and the culture of reinvention. By Reed Hastings and Aaron Meyer. Read for you by Jason Culp and Allison Ryan. Note to listeners. This program includes a downloadable PDF that contains examples of Netflix culture maps from the book. Introduction. Reed Hastings. Blockbuster is 1,000 times our size, I whispered to Mark Randolph as we stepped into a cavernous meeting room on the 27th floor of the Renaissance Tower in Dallas, Texas, early in 2000. These were the headquarters of Blockbuster, then a $6 billion giant that dominated the home entertainment business with almost 9,000 rental stores around the world. The CEO of Blockbuster, John Antiocco, who was reputed to be a skilled strategist, aware that a ubiquitous, super-fast internet would upend the industry, welcomed us graciously. Sporting a salt-and-pepper goatee and an expensive suit, he seemed completely relaxed. By contrast, I was a nervous wreck. Mark and I had co-founded and now ran a tiny 2-year-old startup which let people order DVDs on a website and receive them through the U.S. Postal Service. We had 100 employees and a mere 300,000 subscribers, and were off to a rocky start. That year alone, our losses would total $57 million. Eager to make a deal, we'd worked for months just to get Antiocco to respond to our calls. We all sat down around a massive glass table, and after a few minutes of small talk, Mark and I made our pitch. We suggested that Blockbuster purchase Netflix, and then we would develop and run Blockbuster.com as their online video rental arm. Antiocco listened carefully, nodded his head frequently, and then asked, "How much would Blockbuster need to pay for Netflix?" When he heard our response, $50 million, he flatly declined. Mark and I left, crestfallen. That night, when I got into bed and closed my eyes, I had this image of all 60,000 Blockbuster employees erupting in laughter at the ridiculousness of our proposal. Of course, Antiocco wasn't interested. Why would a powerhouse like Blockbuster, with millions of customers, massive revenues, a talented CEO, and a brand synonymous with home movies, be interested in a flailing wannabe like Netflix? What did we possibly have to offer that they couldn't do more effectively themselves? But little by little, the world changed, and our business stayed on its feet and grew. In 2002, 2 years after that meeting, we took Netflix public. Despite our growth, Blockbuster was still 100 times larger than we were, $5 billion versus $50 million. Moreover, Blockbuster was owned by Viacom, which at that time was the most valuable media company in the world. Yet, by 2010, Blockbuster had declared bankruptcy. By 2019, only a single Blockbuster video store remained in Bend, Oregon. Blockbuster had been unable to adapt from DVD rental to streaming. The year 2019 was also noteworthy for Netflix. Our film Roma was nominated for Best Picture and won 3 Oscars, a great achievement for the director Alfonso Cuarón, which underscored the transformation of Netflix into a full-fledged entertainment company. Long ago, we had pivoted from our DVD-by-mail business to become not just an internet streaming service, with over 167 million subscribers in 190 countries, but a major producer of our own TV shows and movies around the world. We had the privilege of working with some of the world's most talented creators, including Shonda Rhimes, Joel and Ethan Coen, and Martin Scorsese. We had introduced a new way for people to watch and enjoy great stories, which, in its best moments, broke down barriers and enriched...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?